We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Thank you so much for your faithfulness tonight and being here as we are continuing on in our monthly emphasis of missions and refocus. I sure appreciate all of your prayers, and just a quick update on a couple things and a couple of reminders. First of all, if you're a guest tonight, welcome. We're glad you're here. We don't want you to leave without us getting an opportunity to connect with you, so take a moment. There's a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you, and after service is over, fill that out. Drop by out here in the foyer. There are some folks who would love to connect with you. And then I want to introduce to you what we would call at this point the newest member to our church. I think we have a picture. There he is. This is Jedediah Benjamin Judah Cahill. That's a mouthful. I think we're just going to call him Jed. He's going to be a... I was Josh and Bree. They didn't really tell anybody the name. They kind of kept it quiet. There was a few bets going, and I lost. So, but he was a little over 6 pounds. He's a little guy, and they went home today. And so, they're very, very happy to be home. Continue to pray for them. Continue to encourage them. I think they're Josh. Anyway, Josh will be here by God's grace. He'll be here this Sunday back serving. But I know they're very happy for this little guy, and so we are too delighted. You know, there's a lot of ways to grow a church, and this is one of them. All right, and so certainly appreciate him. Another little Cahill running around our church, and so thank the Lord for that. Hey, couple of things. Don't forget, this month is a very, very busy month. I encourage you now. Some of you, let me just say thank you to those of you that are already responding and have continued to respond, turning in your grace-giving card. Thank you so much for that. Many cards yet to still come in. You have all month to do that. We usually will extend it to November, but if you haven't done that, let me encourage you to pray about that. I will be doing a special message on giving, on grace giving, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, all right? So if you haven't turned your card in, please pray about that. Maybe you say, well, I haven't decided on what I want to give. Keep praying. I believe God will make you increase that, all right? So please remember that. And then as a reminder, I didn't get a chance to touch on this on Sunday, but I'd like to take a moment now and encourage you. If you're a senior in here, all right, when I say senior, I don't know what that means anymore. I was talking to one of our members on the way in tonight, and I said, how you doing? And she said, I'm old. And you don't, you know, you put someone in a terrible spot when that happens. And so I mean, I didn't know it. And she said, you're not old. And I really loved her at that point. And so, but, you know, we have this thing in our country, and we look at seniors, and they kind of run the gamut of age. And so, as many of you know, we are launching a brand new seniors ministry. We have a senior care director now on staff. Many of you know him as Bob Bell. And inside of your monthly worship guide, there's an opportunity for you to respond. Now, if you didn't get the chance to do this on Sunday, it's okay. You can do it now or you can do it later on. But you'll notice here, coming up Sunday, October 26th at 9 o'clock in the chapel, there is a seniors breakfast, all right? So you say, well, who's invited? Seniors. I'm not going to try and define that for you, all right? If you feel like our sister who felt old, you can go. I don't know. But it has age range, so 50s. 60s, 70s, and 80 plus. So if you can get here, please come to the breakfast, all right? I'm going to leave that alone, but I really, we realize this, and God put this on my heart probably about 2 years ago. Really have been impressed by the Lord to have a ministry targeted specifically toward our seniors to provide care, oversight, love, community. We do have senior groups, and really they're going to be over the watch care of Bob, but at this point, we kind of want to rally all of you guys together, all of you that are interested in being a part of this. You do need to let us know you're coming. Don't show up unannounced, because you guys, seniors, you're not going to share your breakfast, all right? So make sure you let us know you're coming. We'd love for you to be a part of this, and of course, all of the other things that are happening this coming month. And tonight, we have a guest speaker. You know who it is? Yeah. You know, many years ago, after Pastor Micah came on staff and we began to look at all the various ministry facets and all the things that we're doing here, one of the things that we felt would be important was to put a pastor's eyes on a regular basis over the entire missions program. And our missions program here, and I hate to call it a program because that's really not what it is, but when I use that term, you understand that we look at that in its as its own entity to some extent because we see it globally, but really we also need to see missions locally. And so it really has a two-faceted side to it. But really overseeing this, helping us lead this, making sure our missionaries are kept up in constant communication. Not only is Pastor Micah, we have a team of people who help us with this. And so I thought it was fitting this month as he's continued to get more and more entrenched in missions. I know he's got some things he's going to share about that. So would you make him welcome as he comes tonight, Pastor Micah.
All right, would you turn to John chapter 12 is where we'll be at tonight, John 12. I'm continually thankful for an opportunity to preach and share on missions, and it's been my privilege to really be in a lot of different, several countries and been able to work with some of God's choicest servants all over the globe and got to see this growing up and now experiencing it in ministry. You know, for myself, I love this subject, I love missionaries, and I love the premium that our church places on missionaries and places on missions and the reality of what is to be all of our realities, that we all are to be on mission, and we all are to be. Missions isn't something for elite special force Christians, right? This is for all of us to be on mission all of the time, and it's so important for us, especially in this subject that is so near and dear to the heart of God. And so tonight, we're going to continue to focus on missions, and we're going to continue looking at that even on Sundays, and Pastor Todd's been pounding that, and will the next couple of Sundays, talking about this again and again, because we are striving to gain a different perspective, to gain a little bit, to refocus, to completely look at how we are doing missions. And I want you to look at how you are doing missions, what that looks like for you, what it looks like in your life, what it looks like in your family, and to gain a little bit of a different perspective. And I read a story about a year ago in a book that my wife had gotten for me last year, a guy by the name of J.D. Greer. I'll quote him later in the message, but he wrote a book called Gaining by Losing, and he opened this book with this illustration about a guy that had a different perspective. And some of you might remember this guy. It was in the 80s that this happened. There was a college student at the time by the name of Larry Walters. A guy by the name of Larry Walters who got bored with life and bored with what was happening and decided he would make things a little interesting. And when a college student gets bored, you don't know what they're going to come up with. You're not quite sure how that's going to unfold. And so what he did is he came up with this great idea to go to the local Army Navy supply store and purchase 48 weather balloons. He purchased these 48 weather balloons, inflated them, attached them to a lawn chair, secured them to the back of his pickup truck, and with several friends watching, was able to unlatch himself from the pickup truck. This was his plan that seemed like a good idea at the time. This seems like this is going to play out well. He wants to be able just to come up and be able to see what's happening. And this, you ever have a plan go bad in your mind? Like you think you know what's going to happen? This guy decides he's going to do this. He's just going to lazily kind of saunter up into the air and is going to look over and see the neighborhood and see these kind of things. So this is his plan, what he sees. And he decides all he's going to take with him is a CB radio, so he can talk to his girlfriend down on the ground, and a peanut butter sandwich, a six-pack of beer, and something else. Oh, a loaded BB gun. So here's what he puts all this stuff together, unlatches, and thinks he's just going to be up in the air. Well, 2.5 hours later, the Los Angeles International Airport reported an unidentified flying object. And what he had intended to be, this lazy little ascent, he was actually recorded at 12,547 feet, 2.5 miles in the air. Well, it's interesting, in case you're wondering what he was thinking, some of you may remember this story, that as he's got all this air balloon and all this stuff, and he shoots up in the air. And his plan was, as he got to a certain point, he was just going to take his BB gun and shoot out a couple of balloons And he'd be able to stay right where he's at, and whenever he was done, shoot some more balloons and just come right back down to the ground. What could go wrong? As the story unfolded, he untied himself from the pickup truck, and instead of kind of lazily floating up in the air, his friend said that he shot up like a cannon. Boosh! And, I mean, he said, I just wanted to be able to see things a little bit different, and he panicked, and he said later when he was interviewed, I did the only thing I could do in a stressful situation when I was panicking. I drank beer. And I drank another one about 10,000 feet in the air. His blood alcohol level is already high, and he has a couple beers, and he passes out. Balloons continue to rise, and he's spotted by a 747 who looks over, and not something you see every day, as he's landing a plane, and there's a guy passed out on a lawn chair being suspended by balloons. I want you to show a picture. There's a couple pictures of what happened here, and you can see the different balloons that he had and what all had happened and even some of his plans that had unfolded. So the pilot of the 747 airports or radios the tower and says, there's a dead guy in a lawn chair with air balloons sitting up above doing, and I'm not sure what to do about it. And he lands in a rescue operation that would have made Chuck Norris proud. They got a helicopter and were able to lasso him and pull him down and issue him a ticket promptly for interfering with airport space. You can Google him sometime, not now. You can Google him sometime as Lawn Chair Larry. I don't know if you remember Lawn Chair Larry. One of his friends was interviewed and he said this, Larry was hoping to observe the neighborhood from a slightly different angle and gain new perspective on his life. This was the goal. Well, I too would like us to take an elevated view of missions. And I hope that maybe this crazy illustration wouldn't inspire to do anything that stupid, first of all, but then would inspire to be able to look at a broader perspective of your life, of how you do missions, of how you are doing life. And we're going to look at some things today about some myths and misconceptions concerning missions. Now, I originally had 10 and had a bunch of them, and I was trying to figure it all out, and I couldn't get them all together the way that I wanted, and was going through some stuff with my dad's, and dad saved the day. So he saved you from 10. You should know. I have 3 points. But there's some things we're going to put in here together as we recategorize them into headers. And so let's read this familiar story first. In John chapter number 12, read this familiar story as we look at and prayerfully just look through the eyes of missions and the eyes of service and the idea of being on mission for Christ. Look at John chapter number 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, had been raised from the dead. We know that he raised from the dead. So this is that same Lazarus, and where they had made him supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And we know the story. If you're familiar with it, you know what happened. Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For you, the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. See in our text a very familiar story of Jesus being anointed at Bethany by a woman named Mary. And she's taking, and it wasn't too long ago, Pastor Todd had unpacked this passage, and she had poured out this expensive ointment, this spikenard that we see. And from verse number 5, we understand that its worth was about a year's salary. About a year's salary that she lavished upon Jesus. And when she does this, there's opposition, there's criticism, there is pushback, there is, ironically, from a guy named Judas. More on him later. But as we look deeper in this passage that we just read, I find that there are really three misconceptions about being on ministry, about being on mission, about being missional, about serving God that really come out of the text. And probably of these three things, they probably enter into your life and my life more than we want to admit. They certainly enter into my life more than I want to admit. And so I want us to be able just to look at these three headers and us to be able to look and see these different, as we lift up our eyes and gain a different perspective, I want us to be thinking of how does this pertain to me? What does this look like? And so all of us have had moments and had times where we've been prompted by the Spirit to witness. We've been times we've been prompted to give. There's times we've been prompted to do something. There's times we've been prompted to go on mission, to go be join a ministry, to go get involved, to be involved with grace giving. And here are often objections that we have. Roman number one, the not me misconception. Not me. Now, we often think when we're asked to do something, when God prompts our heart to do something, somebody else will do it. You ever think that? Somebody else is going to go on the outreach. Somebody else is going to go, somebody else will give, something else will happen. Not me. I mean, how many times we're prompted to obey and this is our response? The cry of not me. Surely somebody else can do this. I mean, how easy could she have argued that somebody else is more qualified for this? As you read through it, one of the most obvious glaring things that is there that just pops out at the text, you're like, there's a guy named Lazarus who rose from the dead, right? If anybody ought to be pouring out lavish praise, lavish expenses, if anybody ought to be doing that, don't you think, come on, Lazarus? I mean, wouldn't you think, this is, you would think if anybody were to do it, then maybe this guy would do it. How often we come to that mentality, though, of like, not me, there's other people. And you look back through the time of Christ, and you see all kinds of things. You look back and see people who had means. I mean, way back as you travel through his life, and you see someone like a guy by the name of Zacchaeus, who had, he had so much stuff that when he went to pay back, he paid back fourfold. So, I mean, a guy like that, now, he could really give. A guy like that, he could be on mission. A guy like that, I mean, that's who the Lord needs to use, not me. Not me. I mean, I don't have the means or the ability to do that. You know, how about Joseph of Arimathea? He was wealthy, and he would eventually even donate the tomb, right, where Jesus would lay for 3 days. Surely this guy would be ready. Or the centurion who had all these guys that commanded to him. Maybe somebody like him would come. Maybe someone like Judas, who you would think one of the own guys, would he would do this. And I mean, we could name person after person and dozens of qualified people, but what we see in the text, you know who did it? She did it, didn't she? Other people, more qualified, more had the ability, but she's the one that acted. You know, one of the greatest abilities that you have is your availability and your dependability. And I wonder, as we see she made herself available for Jesus, that who are you making yourself available for? Because you're making yourself available for someone and for something. And it doesn't take too long to figure it out if you pull out your calendar and pull out your checkbook. People don't use checkbooks anymore. I don't. Pull out your, look at your spreadsheet. I don't, whatever you got. Where are you spending your time and your money and your resources? And you'll very soon see where it is that you're spending your time. This lady made herself available to Jesus and she lavished praise on him. Never been the most talented guy in the room or the most gifted or the most room, but it's just determined, like it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that we can do, I want to act accordingly. And there might be other people, and sometimes our brain does tricks with us, and we say, you know, they seem to have a better personality. They should be able to do it, or they should be able to do it. And how quickly we all get sucked into not me. We excuse ourselves because of our position. make these positions here. I mean, here's what I mean. Here's what I mean by this. Now, many of us are sitting around waiting for some type of position to unfold. Like we need a title to be able to serve God. I need a title and I need this prestige. I need this position to be able to serve and be on mission. And that's certainly a huge misconception, because you don't have to have a title to serve. The reality is the call to follow Jesus, the call that you embraced when you said, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I confess you. And when you did that, you were given a position. A position of a missionary, a position of a servant, a position of I am going to be involved in God's mission. The Great Commission is not this special calling for just these elite few people, but is for all of us, that we've all been predestined and given this position to be able to go. So the question is no longer whether you are called to missions, but it's really a matter of where and how. Right? I mean, if I'm called, it's not really a matter of if. If I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've been called to serve. I've been called to be on mission. And if I'm waiting for some type of position to drop out of the sky, I'm going to be waiting a long time, because you've already been given the position of that, of a servant, that of someone who is willing to go and willing to give. Not all of us are supposed to be in full-time ministry, but I love what Pastor Todd says. We're all supposed to be full-time Christians. We all should be full-time in that capacity. Do what you do well for the glory of God, where it is that you are. Listen, when you look through the scriptures, you see everyone from poor servant girls to manly elite warriors. It covers the gamut of people all throughout scripture who stepped up, that didn't wait for a position, that just God prompted them. And thank God they didn't come up with that mentality and say, not me. Not me. It didn't allow the position to keep them from accomplishing something. Do what you do well for the glory of God, and strategically do it. J.D. Greer put it like this. He asked two questions. He says, what skill has God given me by which I can bless the world? What is it that God's given me? What is it that God has tasked and harnessed me with? What did God make you good at? What is it that God gave you to do? How is it he gifted you? What is your passions? He said this. He says, what is your business guys call it? What is your moneymaker? What is it that you can do? What is it that you can accomplish? What it is that God has wired you to do? Whatever it is that you do, do that all for the glory of God and for the betterment of his kingdom and for the expansion and the exaltation of his great name. What skill has God given me that I can bless the world with? Number two, where and how can I most strategically use it to advance the mission of God? Well, you answer those two questions, you're going to be off to the races. You answer those two questions and you're going to be going. Rather than asking, how can I use this to make money? How can I use this to make sure that I have this house or I have this thing or I have these other things? How can I use what it is that God has given me so that I can be on mission and I can be serving, I can be giving, I can be going, I can be growing? How can I do that? What does that look like for me? Why not make this a primary factor in how you serve? Why not make all of these questions? I mean, don't buy into the myth of I don't have a position. I don't have a position. I don't have a title. I can't serve. It's crazy to be thinking like that. We so very easily just get into that. It's not me. I don't have the position. I haven't been called. I didn't have this vision. I didn't have this thing. And so it's only for other people. It's not. It's for you and it's for me. It's for all of us to be on mission all the time, everywhere, in our respective jobs, in a workplace, when we're out and about, always on mission. Don't buy into the myth of no position, these possessions, and don't buy into the myth that of your possessions. You know, we often eliminate ourselves because, you know, we have two different things. I either don't have very much or I have too much. I got to try to keep up with everything. I've got these two different ditches. There are so many people. I bet you there's some of you here that if I were to hook you up to a lie detector test, that could be fun. If I were to hook you up to a lie detector test and I would say, do you love Jesus? And you'd say, yeah. And I said, don't you want to give to Jesus? I do, but I can't. And I can't. I wished I could afford it. I wished I could make that happen, but I can't do it. And if we were to back up and look at it, you know, the truth of the matter is we've positioned our life in such a way that we have to pay the bills and we have to live this extravagant lifestyle, and so we've got to keep things going. And because we've put ourselves in a position, we've allowed ourselves to not even be in a position to be generous, because we've put ourselves in a way that I got to keep up with this house and keep up with this retirement and keep up with these cars, and I got to keep all these things up and keep all these balls in the air. And when my hands are full of my things, I can't be on mission because I got too much stuff. I got too many things to keep up with and too many bills to pay and too much stuff to handle, all of these things that happen again and again and again. We eliminate ourselves because of all of our stuff. I can't give to that missionary need. I can't help that person. I don't have time to go out and see people. I'm not able to take a trip. I can't find myself here. And at the core of this matter is our heart and our stewardship of how it is that God has blessed us. The stewardship of what am I doing with what God has given me? We find ourselves in these ditches like the rich young ruler. We push off because we have too much. And he went away sad because he wasn't willing to do that. Or we push off because we don't have enough. I have too little. I can't give. Listen, this woman gave a year's salary. Now, my wife and I do our best to live generously and give high above a 10%. We want to give that. But I've never given a whole year's salary. I mean, at one time. Have you? I mean, this is lavish. This is huge. She gave all that she had. See, Mary's reality wasn't not me. Her reality is, why not me? Why not? I'm not looking for somebody else to step in the way. I want to bless the Savior. I want to give. I want to be on mission. I want to be doing this. I don't know if that's the position of the reality of your heart tonight. When it comes to grace giving, it comes to giving. Listen, I know there's a couple of folks, there's three folks in here, maybe more, that I get up and on Wednesday night, I'll tell of a missionary need. And it's not uncommon for one of three people to walk up to me and say, tell that missionary that bill's handled. Tell him it's done. I'm always blown away. Like, wow, that's an amazing thing. Just, hey, it's handled, it's done. You know, I wonder how many times there's a need that's presented like that, and there's that fight in you. Not me. No, not me. Somebody else can do it. But Mary's heart is just, why not? Why not me? I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get plugged in. I'm gonna take time to lavish and give of everything that I have for the Savior. Find not only does she not have that mentality of not me, Roman numeral 2, number 2, he says, the not that, not that misconception. You know what that is, right? Like, I'll do anything but that. I'll do anything but that. I'll go anywhere but there. We all have that. Like, you go ahead and you can't go on that missions trip. That's crazy. Why would you do that? You can't give that to the missionaries. You can't do that. You can't support that. You can't find, and listen, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but you can't go this route. Sad to say, you know what? You often, you sure don't think it's going to happen, but you see this happen oftentimes from your peers. From your peers, from your own family member, from your own friends. Isn't it terrible? I mean, Mary's in a place that you would think everybody in the room would be for what she's doing. Don't you think? I mean, she's in this room and they're having dinner with the Savior. You would think that anybody there would be all for what is happening. And isn't it sad? Isn't it sad so many times that when we do something outlandish or we do something give or we do something generous, that sometimes some of the harshest people can be brothers or sisters in Christ? second-guessing sacrifice, second-guessing giving. Why would you do that? It's terrible that people outside the church sometimes can be nicer and kinder than people inside the church. They can be more generous and more giving and more kind. That's an indictment on us. As we gain a better perspective and look back, we can't just look and say, wow, look at what our church gave in missions. That's wonderful. But I've said it before, where is us? Where is us? How about you? What did it look like for you? What does it look like for you to be on mission, for you to be giving, for you to be going? Verse 4 tells us that the person who is asking this question, who is it? Judas. I mean, by the way, always be cautious of someone who criticizes sacrifice. Be cautious of that, someone who's willing to step out on faith. And you can read from Jesus' own words in verse number 7, this was an act of faith. But Judas believes it's too great, right? The sacrifice is too much. There's no way this can happen. We could give this money to the poor. Wink, wink. But we know that wasn't his reality at all, was it? Because he's a thief and he's a liar. I hear these crazy things and objections to so many things by way of mission trips or giving to missions and, you know, and helping other people who are serving abroad. And, you know, understand this, if you go out on faith, you can expect people not to understand. You can just, like, I don't understand why you'd do that. I don't understand why you'd go there. I don't understand why this would happen. You make your decision to serve anyway. Declare to be on mission. Pledge to give to Grace Given. Speak of your commitment. Get plugged in, see people. You don't have to fly 6,000 miles to do mission work. Right? Right across the street, right in your own house, but across the streets and in your neighborhood and where you're at. You can be on mission right where you're at. We don't have to fly 6,000 miles to paint a wall. We got some walls you can paint. No. You don't have to do all of that. You can be on mission right here. You don't have to go all the way around the world to try to speak through an interpreter to win somebody to Christ. You can do it here. You don't have to do all of that to work. Listen, it's a good thing to do, and it helps to encourage missionaries, but one of the myths is like, once I go do that, then, hey, I'm a missionary. I went on a trip. Like we're a Boy Scout and we got a badge or something. Like, what? That doesn't mean anything. It's that myth of like, hey, I'm going to go on a trip, and after I've gone on a trip, then I'm the spiritual guy, that I've raised this money and done these things, and God has used me in this way. But if it hasn't changed you, you just wasted your time. You got to, I mean, who cares? You got a stamp on your passport. Big deal. If you're not going and continuing to go, and it doesn't change you, and it doesn't sustain you, not me. Not that. Can't give that. You can expect people to be pushing back from that. Hey, you can expect not only your peers to push back, but you can expect it from your own self, your own person. Listen, you can expect to fight every time within your own self. I mean, there's so many times we've gone to give. We've told these stories before about how you go to give, and God's like, I need you to give that money. And, you know, you go to give it, and you're like, it's like painful. You go to give it, and it's like prying out of your hand. You know, we had a time, was it last mass missions trip, I was like, I'm going to give something. Well, last missions conference we had, and I went to stick my hand in my pocket. I was going to give the missionary some money, and God's like, just give him what's in your pocket. Well, I reached in there, and I reached in the wrong pocket, and I gave him too much money. I told PT about it. He thought it was really funny. I said, well, that money was for something else, but I just reached in there and grabbed it. As it's coming out, it's like, oh, boy. Expect the carnal to be at war with the spiritual. It's going to happen. You're going to have this fight in yourself. I don't want to give that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that to happen. I can't do that. I can't serve there. I'm not qualified. I don't have training. I haven't been to seminary. I don't have that. Listen, I want to introduce you to some people. On the screen is Jim Telman and his family. They're in Uganda, Africa, and they have a beautiful family. Jim is an entrepreneur guy from Tennessee, owned multiple businesses, And you know what happened to this guy who has no formal training, that has no college training, doesn't have any seminary behind him? God got a hold of his heart and said, I want you to go be on mission for me, and led him to Africa. And he sold all of his businesses but one, moved his family to Uganda, and there they are serving, and you can see all of them standing in front of that gate. And he's like, I don't have any training, I don't have any abilities, I don't have anything other than the fact that God has blessed me in this way, and if I can make money there, then I can go help an orphanage, and I can go help some kids, and I can go help people, and I can do that over there and help a missionary. By the way, we're going to be taking a trip there. I'm going to tell you about that here in just a moment. We're going to be taking a medical missions trip over to Africa in about a year and a half. I'll introduce you to Steve Griffin. Same story, having no formal training by way of being a pastor as a school teacher, and decided, I'm going to give all that up and I'm just going to go to the Dominican Republic and I'm going to be a missionary there. I can teach school here, but I can go there and make a difference with some kids. I want to introduce you to someone you're going to get to see this weekend by the name of Bruce Robinson. I was able to speak with him this week. He's going to be with us. You haven't met him yet, but he's there in Haiti, and a guy who was building airplanes for Boeing 30 years ago decided, I'm not going to do any of that anymore. I'm going to go be on mission, and I'm not a pastor. I'm not in that, but I'm just going to give all that up, and I'm going to go be on mission and go serve somewhere. And aren't you glad for people like that and so many more who don't have that mentality of not me, not that? Why not me? Why not now? Why not give that? If that's what God's given me, then I'm willing to throw it on the table. I'm willing to give it. Page after page in the scripture are people who experienced Christ. They fell in love with Christ, and they wanted the same thing they had for them, these ordinary people, to experience an extraordinary life in Christ. And it didn't matter what it cost them. It didn't matter what they had to give up. They were just willing to go. And just willing to give. Not that. Not me. And here's one of the most famous ones. Not now. Later. Later. Verse 7 plainly tells us that the day of Jesus' burial is at hand. You know, in other words, we procrastinate. Monday is always coming for the diet. Next month, we find it's always happening spiritually too, right? Hitting the snooze button. Next week, next month, next year, when my kids get out of the house, when I retire, dot, dot, dot. When? You know, if she waits, she loses her opportunity. It will have been gone. If she waits, apparently no one else is going to do it. You know, when the call to missions comes, we're often the first to agree to the need, but often the last to support it. Not now. Oh yeah, there's a need. Not now though. I got this thing. Not that, not me. We don't recognize the urgency of now. We don't recognize the urgency of what's here. Let me ask you this, is Jesus a part of your life? And don't answer just so quickly. Is he a part of your life? If he is, and you're in love with Jesus, you're gonna look for opportunities to serve. If you're in love with him, because if he is, you're going to change. Things are going to be different. We take time to do premarital counseling here and work with folks who are getting married, and it's fun sometimes, but it's fun working with couples and guys who are getting married and whatnot, and we'll often, you know, have a young guy or have some folks come in, and I'll just give them a warning. Like, be careful. Everything's about to change, right? Everything's about to change. It's all different now. Everything as you've known it is about to change. Just get ready. You're going to want to go to Chili's, and she's going to want to go to Olive Garden. She's going to squeeze the toothpaste wrong. Something's going to be, the clothes are going to be a little wrong. You're going to want to go play sports, and she's going to want to go shopping. Just be ready. I mean, it's going to change. You're going to want to watch something blow up, and she's going to want to watch Hallmark. Listen, you can't bring someone in your life and things stay the same. You can't bring people in your life and everything just be the same. It doesn't work like that. Saw the picture of Jedediah up on the screen. I told Brother Josh before he had left, I said, boy, life's about to change. Life's about to change because when someone comes into your life, things change. With Jesus in your life, you ought to change. You ought to be wanting to serve him. You ought to be living for him. And so, if not me, who? If not that, then what? If not now, when? So I'll ask you again, is Jesus a part of your life? Do you know Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Are you modeling Jesus? Are you all about Jesus? Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus your all in all? Is Jesus someone you pray to? Is Jesus someone you adore? Is Jesus someone you praise? Is Jesus somebody you sing to? Is Jesus somebody that you want to exalt in your life, that you do more than just give lip service to, but you actually make time for him in your calendar and you make a space for him in your budget because he matters, because Jesus is your all in all? Do you love Jesus? I don't know. Only you know. Because if you love Jesus, you won't be looking for excuses. You'll be looking for opportunity. You'll be looking for ways to rearrange priorities to make time for Jesus. You'll be rearranging budgetary concerns so I can help missionaries get on the field so they can learn about Jesus. And I want to be able to work my calendar in such a way that I can go out and talk to other people and tell them about Jesus. And I want to be able to learn more about God's word because I can't get enough of my Jesus. Is that you? Wait, it's going to be hard to examine it and be able to see. I want to encourage you, get plugged into Grace Giving. Would you make room for Jesus? Would you make room? Hey, would you just decide, hey, our family is just not going to go out to eat. We're going to give up one of those times a month. We go out to eat. We're going to eat at home, and we're going to give. We're going to eat out one last time. We're going to do something. We're going to give up some coffee. We're going to give up some time. We're going to give up something. We're just going to commit. Maybe you'd be willing to support some of the teens going to Guatemala. Listen, I'm super excited about the teens getting to head off, and I love getting to share our global God with people. I love getting to take people on trips, and I love that I'm not going on this trip. Because the teens, no, that's not. I love that it's spreading, and that other people are going, and other people are saying, let's go tell other people about Jesus. Let's tell, so that the ends of the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe you'd be willing to help support them and go. Maybe you would show up in a couple of weeks on a Tuesday night to Operation Reconnect. Say, I'm going to be on mission right here. I'm going to show up. I'm going to get plugged in. I'm going to go tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to go partner up with somebody that's going out. Last time we did this, we had two people come to know Christ as their Savior on a Tuesday night. It was a wonderful night. Just come and say, I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to get plugged in and be all about Jesus. Maybe you could commit to the next adult mission trip. We're going, I mentioned it earlier, going all the way to Uganda, Africa. I'm so excited by this. This has been something that I've wanted to do and wanted the church to do for a number of years. We've done a lot of different focuses of trips. We've been able to lead children's trips, and we've been able to do sports trips, and we've been able to do construction trips, and we're trying to be able to incorporate as many people as we can in the body life of the church. And when missionaries come here, I often ask them, what's the biggest need that you have? And they often say, well, whatever you want. And I'm like, no, what's the biggest need you have? What's the biggest need you have? And I just keep drilling them. And finally, I was meeting with Jim Tell like 3 years ago at Arby's. because when you have that many people in your family, you take them to Arby's. We went to Arby's, and we're sitting there, and we're having this conversation, and he says, we need medical help. And you have medical help, you instantly have hundreds of people that are able to come underneath the sound of the gospel. I said, well, there's no way we could do a medical trip. He said, well, sure you could. And he started to unpack how it worked, and in a few weeks, in November, Jim Plants, who is a medic in the Army and used to sit up, he and I are going to be doing a survey trip, and we're going to be flying out there and figuring out how we can set up the tents and all of that to do a medical mission trip there in Uganda. And maybe some of you would say, listen, I'd like to be a part of that. I'd love to be able to learn to tell other people about Jesus. I'd love to be able to get plugged in. You don't have to wait a year and a half to go to Africa, and you don't even have to go to Africa. You can be involved right now. But maybe you say, I can get plugged in. I can do something by way of grace giving. I can do Guatemala. I can do Operation Reconnect. I can do Africa. I can do something. I can't do all of it, but surely you can do something. And don't buy into the, well, I don't have enough position, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have training, or I've already been before. You see, in closing, you know, impacting people for Christ never happens on accident. It's always intentional. You're just not going to show up here on a Tuesday night and go out unless you planned on doing it. Money just isn't going to all of a sudden show up and like, wow, it's in my hand. I think I'm going to give that. I don't know where it came from. I'm going to on purpose plan to be able to give money so that the gospel can go forth to the ends of the world and so people can come to know Christ as their Savior, because I care enough about Jesus that I want other people to know Jesus. And I know they're serving Jesus and they're telling other people and they're giving a witness. And so I'm gonna save my money and give do away, because I don't need to have this lavish thing or this lavish thing. I need to let other people know about Jesus. Not me. I hope that's not you, right? Not me. Not that. Not now. May we have this disposition of this lady and say, why not me? Why not us? Why not now?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.